flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Celtics Wednesday here on Jones and Keith. It's hour number 2. We will get to Would You Rathers coming up about 20 minutes from now. Plus all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. I still see callers hanging out to give us their Patriots plan. Callers get 30 seconds to fix the Patriots, Keith.
And some don't even need it. Some
need
10 seconds, 15 seconds. Maybe that's too much.
Some had 20 seconds of giant head jokes and then launched into their plan.
However you want to use your time is fine.
However you want to utilize it. So if you missed our plans, first of all, they're on social media, at Keefe21, at Jones WEEI, at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. We'll reset those plans in the noontime hour. We are also efforting to get Jermaine Wiggins. His 60-second Patriot plan.
Yeah, people want it.
The Twitch chat is demanding it at this point. Mm-hmm. We're going to put Wiggy on the clock and get his plan in 60 seconds. But as I said, it is a Celtics Wednesday. We have Justin Turpin from WEEI joining us here. What's up, Turp?
Did I hear you guys are like pork and tuna?
Lamb and tuna fish. Are you too young for that film?
Yeah, so I missed the reference in real time. So that's a Big Daddy reference.
Yeah. Oh, missed it in
no,
real time?
No, I missed it.
You did?
I forgot. Yeah, yes. Bad job by me. I was so excited about the 30-second Patriot plan.
That's true. Lanny's,
but that's a movie reference.
Lanny's the number one.
He's the Sandler guy.
Oh, yeah. So Lanny got that. Yeah, that's a Big Daddy reference.
I didn't think those two went together traditionally. I was pretty confused.
Hence the joke.
No, they don't.
The Celtics are
bombing in threes.
Thank you.
So
I was about to make a bad lamb and tuna fish.
No, forget the lamb and tuna.
I'm happy you saved
it. Let me jump in there. So this was an interesting tweet by Grandy. He puts out always like these stat-based tweets. And so one of them was, no Celtic has ever made 250 threes in a season. Isaiah Thomas from 2017 actually is the all-time single season
leader. I haven't seen this tweet. Can I guess how it finishes?
Sure.
Three Celtics are on pace for that or
Correct.
Something like that? So Tatum, Pritchard.
And Derek White.
That would not
so
be my
nobody
guess.
Has White. Ever okay. done it in franchise history, and now three of them are on pace to break the record right now. But we know they shoot more threes. They shot a lot of threes with Stevens. They shot more with Udoka, and they take even more with Joe Mazzulla. And it's also become this big sort of discussion league-wide, and the Celtics are kind of the face of it. You know, are
definitely.
Is there too many threes in the NBA?
I don't think so, because that's how you win games. Like, that's just how you win the game now. Teams are more protecting the paint more, and they're leaving more open threes in the Celtics.
So
offense.
Is it good for the viewer?
Thank you.
Because I'm with you. Like, the math checks out, right? Like, you hate to get too nerdy with it, but the math checks out. They just won the title doing it this way. They're on pace to win the title again doing it this way. But take the wins and losses out of it. Take, like, so you're not running the Celtics. You're just a fan watching them, or the league in general. Is it good to see guys just take more threes than twos in an NBA game?
I enjoy it, but I don't understand what the alternative would be. So what, are you going to get rid of the three-point line?
Three-point dunks.
Three-point, well, that'd be pretty fun. But then again, it would just be the same problem where they're going to force you to take long jumpers, and it's going to be the same thing you have. It's just the game is played differently
now.
Yeah,
but you de-emphasize the I mean, there's got to be a way to de-emphasize the three. Is it moving the line back?
There's been a lot of different ones. They all sound crazy at first, but then you're like,
I think I heard Mego say take away the corner three.
I've heard that.
That'd be the most realistic.
Okay, so take away the corner three.
The corner office?
Move the 3-point line back.
What's Grant Williams
going
to do?
3-point dunks is an extreme one, but I don't hate it. But like, is there is there a way to de-emphasize the three? Because
cat's out of the bag.
Well, and Terp, I get your point. Right now, the rules are the rules, and the best way to win is launching a bunch of threes and have a scoring margin from beyond three. The Wizards game the other night is a good example of it, where the Celtics are bombing away and the other team can't hit. Okay? But that doesn't make it a good product. And this is how people would talk about baseball a decade ago. And the NBA is a much younger viewership base, although they're having ratings issues now as well. But it's a much younger audience, so I don't think they're in the same place baseball is. But it's like, oh, well, you win on launch angle, and you win on spin rates, and you win on three outcomes. You might win on all those things, and it may work. It's not fun to watch, and it seems like viewers are echoing that, is what it seems.
To me, though, the ratings are kind of in a bizarre spot because the NBA announced an all-time attendance record just in April. So people are still consuming the product. It's just how they're doing it. And there's a lot that goes into it, and the rating system is a little bizarre, right? Because you have the Nielsen, and that's only a Nielsen household. So it's really hard to understand why people are tuning in.
There is ways to juke the attendance records, too. Well, what about streaming? It's a fair point, but are other sports cratering ratings-wise? Like, is the NFL cratering?
NFL's the only thing that is not, like...
It's also a lot more accessible.
Gonna get knocked down.
A lot of these are on regional networks, and TNT and ESPN, these are subscription-based, whereas CBS and Fox, I mean... Those come with your package.
So you think it's purely about people streaming and nothing else?
I don't think it's purely that. I think there's a lot that goes into it. Part of it, probably people are sick of the threes.
You had a good theory about stars as well.
Yeah, so a couple actually as it relates. So one, I think, LeBron, Durant, and Curry are all still good players, but they're not what they were. Yeah. I mean, LeBron's gone AWOL. So it's like those three guys, it's a changing of the guard. I also wonder, three or four of the best players in the world outside of Jason Tatum aren't Americans? Like, does that have any impact? Like, Luka, Jokic, Giannis. I mean, Gildas Alexander's Canadian,
that barely counts.
Yeah. But, like, I don't know. Like, that's the first time we've seen that. Like, you had Dirk Nowitzki, but Dirk was popular when LeBron was and Garnett and, like, all these other guys. Like, it seems like the top tier guys around the league aren't even Americans. I don't know if that has any impact on the American ratings.
What specifically comes to mind is Nikola Jokic. Like, he's the best player in the world, and people question if he even likes the damn sport.
I don't think he likes basketball. He'd rather be out there with his horse.
That's
raising,
hard.
Raising and brushing horses.
Yeah.
The marketability of the stars is also part of it. And like you said, there's that changing of the guard where these older guys that people really grew to love, LeBron and Curry, KD, all these guys are kind of aging out where we don't even know where LeBron is right now.
Like, jeez, I mean, what is going on with that? That should be
bizarre.
Covered a little bit more, don't you think?
So part of it is the marketability of the stars, and also it's part of just the ebbs and flows of when it's moving.
Like that can't be ideal. So when Magic and Bird basically saved the NBA, it was L.A., Boston, coast to coast, superstar players. Your best player in the world is a Serbian player who plays for the Denver Nuggets.
Like, a lot of their games are late.
Well, that's also true. Even if you want to see them out East Coast, you got to watch them at 9:30, 10 o'clock. So that can't help.
I agree it can't be ideal, but, like, Hakeem was very marketable. Dikembe Mutombo was not, like, a great player, very marketable. So, like, you have a history of international players who are marketable. You know, I don't think it's ideal. Like, I think if a league has their way, your best players are American, that probably makes them the most marketable. Whether that's right or wrong, we can debate, but that probably is realistic.
No, I think three-point shot is something.
I think the three-point shot is a problem. I think it feels like baseball where now you're exploiting loopholes, and it might work and lead to wins and losses. It's not a fun watch. There might be something to stars aging out, and they're still shoved down our throat, as opposed to really championing some of the younger players. But, I don't know, the Celtics are fairly young, and they're good, and they're on TV now in the second half of the year, basically every week.
Yeah, and
every game.
that's because they are trying to push these younger stars, guys like Anthony Edwards, guys like Jason Tatum. They want them to be marketable. They want them to be at the front. But I just don't think there is a correlation necessarily with the threes. I mean, I understand that some people might not like it, but you want to see points. I think a lot of leagues want to see points. They don't really want to see these low-scoring teams. They want to see games going back and forth.
Some of those 90s games were a drag.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there was, remember during The Last Dance? And it was like the Utah Jazz, I think, in an NBA Finals game scored like 50 points.
Okay.
And you're like, what?
What was the final in the NBA Cup last night? That wasn't good.
Neither team. Oh, that was
a low-scoring.
And they were still
slog.
Shooting the threes.
They were bombing threes.
I mean, Thunder, 1 of 17 in the first half. Like, they were letting them fly. I mean,
yeah,
and then
so
they
look,
lost because they lost the 3-point.
I love offense. I like points. I'm with you on that. Mm-hmm. But now, okay, we're going to get a lot of scoring. What would I rather see? Jaylen Brown launching threes or Jaylen Brown, you know, throwing it down on people? Like, to me, it's really not that close. I would rather – I think Nick Wright has a point there. I don't know if you got to make it a 3-point dunk.
Yeah,
but there is a point to incentivizing Anthony Edwards to stand 25 feet away from the bat. Even Porzingis. How far away is Porzingis launching – he's not even at the 3-point line. He's like 2 steps behind the 3-point line with every three he takes. There's something about incentivizing players to get closer to the hoop and reward athleticism than just launching threes from 25 feet away.
But even in the Warriors, their run, and three of the last four, I think it was, highest-rated NBA Finals involved Steph Curry, and that Warriors team was bombing threes.
And LeBron, but
all it is, and LeBron, and all it is, though, is they're taking probably about, 15% of their mid-range shots? Because the mid-range is really not a thing anymore. So they're just taking
now the lone mid-ranger, DeMar DeRozan out there.
Yeah,
all you're doing is moving back like 5 feet.
No, but it is one of those things where Curry and the Splash Brothers were incredibly fun to watch. They sort of kind of, I wouldn't say, yeah, I mean, they were at the forefront of, you know, just taking more threes and just like launching threes. And every team in the league saw that and was like, we're going to do that, but they don't do it as well. And so, yeah, like the Celtics do it well and they're going to win a lot of games. But I think night in and night out, when you're watching teams just sort of not run anything and then just like launch a three, that sort of seems like what's viewed as like a good possession. And I don't know. I can see how some fans might be just tired of that. Also, there is sort of the everything besides the NFL is kind of going down. Like, I'm sure
that's
good
true.
TV shows are, there's just so much crap to watch, whether it's live sports or new streaming shows or whatever else. So, like, I think that's always going to take a hit, too.
It does feel like the NBA is taking more than its fair
that's
share
true.
Of a hit.
That's true.
Real quick, Turb. Let's open up to some phone calls here in a moment. There's a lot of people looking to weigh in on this debate. So we'll take some calls with Turb, if you don't mind. But do you think the NBA Cup was a success or a fail? Like, the Bucks winning as an NBA Cup guy, Keith?
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
I don't think that helped anything. Like, I think the Thunder winning, maybe you could spin that forward and say this is a young team that
Bucks feel like the Lakers from a year ago.
Bucks feel like the Lakers
Darvin
from
Ham,
a year ago.
I told Jones yesterday.
You did tell me
I
this.
I told him.
I go, who's
him
Darvin?
Torian Prince.
Who's Darvin Ham even with? You told me. I was unaware.
Never lost an NBA Cup game.
How about that? A greatest winner in the history of the NBA
they
Cup.
They should call it the Darvin Ham
Darvin
trophy.
Ham.
And Torian Prince. He was there too.
Wow.
Hit some big threes.
They sure did. I don't think Doc Rivers winning any sort of hardware and the Bucks winning helps my case for the NBA Cup. I don't.
I think it does. From the storyline standpoint, I think there are plenty. It's like now people are going to overreact about this Thunder team. Unfortunately, they had their worst game of the year on probably one of the bigger stages they've had. And now people are going to wonder, are they actually that good? Because you see, this is a team beating.
You know what, Terp? Good point. I was coming at it from the wrong direction. Rip the Thunder.
Rip the Thunder.
Rip the Thunder.
Are the
good point. How did I not come up with that?
Come on, that's like right up your alley.
Brilliant point.
Thunder aren't a serious
the
team.
The Thunder aren't a real team. Yeah. They lost the NBA Cup. They couldn't even break 100 in the NBA Cup. Terp, you
and
nailed
now
it.
The Bucks have really turned it around. I mean, they were 2-8 at one point, and then they started to find their three. I mean, top five in 3-point makes and percentage, top 10 in defense. They've really turned it around. It's now people are going to kind of make a big deal out of this. Like, oh, are the Bucks actually, could they challenge the Celtics?
Where do you put the Bucks in the East?
I put them up there as one of the only teams that really could compete with the Celtics.
Okay. Bucks or Knicks?
I'd probably still lean the Knicks.
Okay, Bucks or Cavs?
Cavs.
Okay, Bucks or?
Bucks are third in there.
You like the Pacers, right? Are you off them?
I do. I'm kind of coming off them a little bit.
Okay, so you have fourth in the East.
Well, we talked about the Bucks last week, too. I think the way they're playing now, and they were never, when they were a 2-8 team, I don't think that was really indicative of who they are. Like, the team with Dame and Giannis, no matter who else is their surrounding cast, and the surrounding cast has plenty of questions, they're not 2-8. Like, they're better than that. And I also question, like, we haven't seen Giannis healthy in the playoffs since, 2022?
Yeah.
So that's a whole thing, too, is how healthy will he be?
Fair point. Good point here on the text line as well. 617-779-7937. Too many bad teams are shooting threes, and they can't do it like the Celtics.
I think that's a part of it.
That is fit. Like, the Celtics shooting threes maybe isn't as maddening as the whole league doing it.
Look at the Bulls, who they play tomorrow.
Yeah.
They're 13-15, I believe. Then they shoot the second most threes in the league.
So, yeah. So maybe it might not be a Celtics problem, but it is an NBA problem. Let's go to some of these phone calls. Tarek is in Boston. Go ahead, Tarek.
How you doing, fellas? Merry Christmas. You know, have we ever been happy with the NBA? I mean, let's go through the years. I mean, the 80s, we complained about, the Jordan era, we complained about him being a ball hog and that he didn't play defense, and he starts playing defense and gets the team to play such good defense that the point totals plummet in the league, so the 90s are just basically unwatchable. Then the 2000s is the Kobe era. It's like this ISO ball thing. Then they get rid of the hand checking. So now guys are just flying all over the place, running up the score. We've never really been happy with the sport. We always have a tweak. We always have something that we want to complain about with the sport. Shaq, he bullies too much. Giannis bullies too much. We complain about the game because it doesn't look the way we expect it
to. That's fine. We're going to complain a lot. That's fine.
That's actually pretty fun.
That's kind of my side of the street.
Scoring enough. They're scoring too much.
But in the 80s, ratings were good.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, in the early 2000s, ratings were good, and now they're not. And so that's why I think it's a little more relevant. You can complain, but people were definitely watching Bird and Magic. People were watching LeBron in the 2010. You were talking about just those Warriors teams. So the NBA didn't have the issue of people tuning in.
Do you like it when you know who the finals teams are going to be before the beginning of the year, which we had a lot of times in the NBA? Or do you like going into the season and be like, I have no idea who's going to come out of the conference?
I mean, my answer would be parody, but I don't think that's really how I feel. I like knowing that the Celtics are on a collision course with Kobe.
People only parody if their team isn't one of the three best teams.
Yes.
When your team's one of the, like, I you know me, I can't stand LeBron, but you knew it was going to be LeBron Curry in the finals. I'm like, can't really do much better than that. Like, I'll watch that. I was watching that. And, you know, Jordan and Bird was sort of, Bird and Magic a little bit before my time, but I'm sure when those teams met in the finals, people were pretty fired up about it. Right, like, oh, it's the same two teams. Like, yeah, they're the best two teams.
I think part of it is just a conversation around the league. It's always, we're still so hung up on the Lakers. There's so many better teams that need to be discussed. Like, it's still all about, oh, how does this affect LeBron's legacy? It's all about LeBron.
Yeah.
It's still all about these aging stars where these shows that literally carry the games, they have all these talk shows fed by former players who are all just miserable about the state of the game.
So if the five best players in the world right now are in some order, Jokic, Doncic, Tatum, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, and Giannis, in some order.
Yeah.
Are those guys good enough personality-wise? Like, when you had Shaq and Kobe.
Well, Tatum has negative personality. Like, he has no personality.
Jokic doesn't want to talk to anybody.
Yep, same.
Doncic, I feel like, does have personality. I don't see really national stuff.
I think that's why they're pushing for Anthony Edwards.
Got it.
Because he's a guy who has plenty of personality.
That's a good point. Because
needed to be him.
Giannis has turned into a giant.
I don't like Giannis.
Weenie.
I give Hart credit. Hart hated Giannis like 6 years ago. And I'm like, who hates Giannis? Like, I do. And now I'm like, I've come around. I'm like, yeah, I can't stand him either.
And another part of it, too.
And became hateable.
Right.
Especially now is like, I feel like a lot of people are just consuming their NBA content on social media and stuff. Like, we'll watch the highlights.
Well, guess
that's
what?
That's it.
That's baseball.
That's, yeah.
You know, so I mean, that's baseball, Susan. But that baseball, that's where people are watching is, hey, I'll get my home run highlights. And I'm not going to sit through a whole game. I'm going to watch the clips.
Yeah.
And I think that
we always talk about how long that season is too. Like they play twice as many regular season games as the NBA teams. Well, but people are even probably looking at that too.
Not to bring it back to the NBA Cup. This is this is why I like it though, because 82 games is not 162. But it is too long, and the adage is the season doesn't start until Christmas Day anyway in the NBA. So they're trying to make early season games relevant. It may not work. People push back on it. That's fine.
I mean, you're a proponent of it. But
they are trying to do it.
That's an attempt, right?
Yeah.
And like they've tried to do it with, they try not to schedule back-to-backs around primetime games to really want the star players to play in the primetime. Like, I get what they're doing. It's not really having the effect. I saw a tweet the other day that said, I think it must have been the semifinals of the NBA Cup.
Did horrible.
Past Saturday. Got outdone by WWE's Saturday Night Main Event.
Not good.
Like head to head, more people watch wrestling than
part
they
of it is the randomness too.
Yeah,
I mean, look at that crowd last night. There was no buzz in that arena.
It's true.
Like, and it's Las Vegas, so like they have no ties to Oklahoma City or Milwaukee. Yeah, so
they should
part
be betting on the game. They should be screaming at every rebound and like going nuts.
Like,
but I
bet
guess
everything.
Not.
And, like,
I guess they weren't.
There's just no interest because of the randomness and teams like Boston. It's like, why do they want to play in this game that literally doesn't count towards the standings? There's nothing like last night's game.
That game doesn't.
Doesn't count for any stats. The other ones do,
yeah,
right.
But the one they lost on the way counted.
Selling out to go there, the point differential and stuff, because you might not necessarily want to play in that game. Like, what if you have a guy like Kristaps Porzingis? What if he gets hurt in that game? There's just no incentive.
He's already been hurt twice in seven games, so that's probably happening anyway.
Probably going to get hurt again.
What? Any fear with him?
I think a lot of it's precautionary. I mean, obviously, it's part of Kristaps Porzingis. Everyone knew this was part of the deal that comes with him is you're going to have to be worried about it. It's kind of like Gronk. Like, when he's on the field or on the court, they're almost unstoppable. But it's a matter of keeping him on there. And it's been a problem throughout his career. Like, this is nothing new. And people seemingly still always overreact to it. And I understand the frustration. You're paying this guy a lot of money, and he's important to their final hopes. But everyone understood that you're getting this with him. This is what comes with him. So I'm not really too worried about it. I think especially these two early on here since he's come back, I think a lot of it's precautionary.
Looking ahead on their schedule, so they got a couple games with the Bulls, like whatever, coming up. But in the new year, do you see the stretch?
Gauntlet.
I love it. They have four straight road games, Minnesota, Houston, Oklahoma City, Denver. That's literally the best. I know some people are like, why not Golden State and the Lakers? Don't care. That is, Minnesota could see them in the finals. It's Ime Udoka. Mm-hmm. It's Oklahoma City.
Who has them playing really good.
Who's got them playing great because he's the best coach in the league.
Yeah,
Oklahoma City.
The Choking Thunder, yep.
Choking Thunder.
Yep.
Probably won't make the finals now after losing the NBA Cup.
Definitely not.
And then Denver, best player in the world, maybe a finals preview as well.
The only team they didn't beat last year.
Was Denver?
Yeah, 0-2 against Denver last year.
That's a good nugget.
How about that?
How do you like that?
A good nugget.
So that's exciting. They have the Christmas Day game, too, which is against Philly.
This is another thing, too. How the Oklahoma City Thunder not playing on Christmas? That's a bad job by the NBA.
Yes and no.
They just lost the cup.
What market is okay?
But you want to push these younger stars.
But you would want him on there, I would think.
Okay,
no, they are playing. Oh, no, they're not. They're playing the 26th. They hit the wrong date. So you have Spurs, Knicks. At least it's Wembanyama.
Wemby, Jalen Brunson.
At 12. 2:30 is Timberwolves, Mavericks.
Uh-huh.
What time is the Chiefs game? Is it right at 1?
Yeah, something like
that.
It's
on Amazon, right?
No,
Netflix.
No,
Mahomes.
No,
that
Netflix.
Could change
it's on Netflix.
If Mahomes doesn't play.
Then Sixers, Celtics. Lakers, Warriors, because they're just beating a dead horse.
Yep.
And then Nuggets, Suns. Again, Durant, Curry, LeBron. Well, maybe LeBron.
Notice that, though. It's a good mixture of the older stars and also the younger stars. But you don't have...
Yeah, it's a lot of old stars.
With the exception of the 76ers, who are a total mess are coming
gross.
Here. It's gross.
Well, in fairness to you, I say OKC's a small market, and it is, but I'd imagine when it was Durant and Westbrook and OKC, they were on Christmas Day a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
No, so, fair. All right. Terp, thanks for jumping in here. I know Celtics have practice, which is why we had to shuffle the time a little bit. Check out his work. Justin M. Turpin on social media and at WEEI. Covers the Celtics there. Does a great, great job covering all the press conferences, thoughts on the game, writing about the team, podcasting about the team. So check out Terp's work. Terp, we appreciate it. Every Celtics Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys.
All right.
We'll get back to the Patriots. We'll get back to your thoughts on how to fix the NBA. We have some thoughts on the Red Sox as well before the hour is out. And it's a Would You Rather Wednesday. We'll do some Would You Rathers right after Trending with Billy Laney.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It may not be a very happy Christmas for Jerod Mayo, the way things are going.
We'll see. He does have, the couple games after Christmas.
It's true.
That, still in season 1.
I think he's going to make it to those, I think.
Yep.
We're going to see. Jerod Mayo is talking now to the media. But
how's it going?
He was asked whether or not ownership has guaranteed him a second season. He said, I'm not trying.
There are no guarantees in life, is what I was
saying. Oh, I'm sorry. Nick, I was about to read it. Nick has it. Okay, you have the clip, Nick? Let's hear it.
You've often talked about getting better in year 2. Has that been assured to you that you have it?
No, again, for me this week, my focus is on this game, the Bills here today. Like, things that happen at the end of the season, I can't control those things. So it's all about the Bills.
Yeah. I understand where you're coming from with that. I appreciate the answer. But there's obviously been a lot of speculation recently about your future.
Yeah.
By that answer, you don't necessarily squash the...
Well, I'm not trying to squash anything. I'm trying to let you know like where my focus is, and it's on the Bills.
That's a change in tune from, I got a lot of ideas and I'm going to bring them in next year.
That doesn't seem great, does it?
Well, it's one of two things. Either he knows it's dire, or he's just been told, stop talking like you're guaranteed a second year because it sends a bad message. So maybe somebody talked to him.
Or maybe he just hasn't been. And he's like, maybe I should stop saying that. Maybe I should stop acting like I'm going to be back for a year two. So I, like...
Was that Giardi or was that Kai? They always sound a little alike to me. Who was that?
Was it the same for both questions?
Great job. Yeah. I got to be honest. I couldn't totally make out the voice. It was either Giardi or Kai. Great job, whoever that was.
Yikes.
Hey, I know what you're saying. I respect it, but you kind of sound like you're...
Yeah, I feel like there's a decent chance that's true now.
You kind of sound like you're dodging the question. And add the context of Curran last night on NBC Sports Boston, Vrabel would take the job.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's bad.
So Vrabel would take the job, and now Mayo comes out and he goes, yeah, I don't know. I'm focused on the Bills.
Who knows how many people would want the job? It's not exactly the best situation in the world.
We know one.
You have Drake May, but do you think your owners are going to spend? Is Elliott Wolf still in charge? Like, it's not the greatest job in the world. So if he wants it, but yeah, that is a change in tune over the last few weeks from Jerod Mayo.
It is. Mayo is a, we're both moving on from Mayo in our 60-second Patriot plans.
Yeah, we are.
We'll replay those at noon. Wiggy is committed to give his 60-second Patriots plan at noon.
By request. People are asking for it.
People are demanding it.
We need to hear it, and so he's gonna give us a call.
We're going to put Wiggy on the clock.
Love it.
He has 1 minute to fix the Patriots. Keith and I already did it. If you missed our plans, we'll replay them. We have a couple people waiting patiently with Patriots plans. You want to take them, Keith?
Yeah, let's get them on the clock. Let's get 30 seconds on the clock for George in New Hampshire first.
George in New Hampshire.
Hello? Son of a bitch, George.
Okay. Let's pop him back on hold.
He's got us on hold.
Okay. How about...
We should just listen to that for 30 seconds. And then we're like, you're done. All right, let's go. Yeah.
How about Dante in the North End? 30 seconds, Dante.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for getting me on. First of all, Mayo needs to go. You bring in Vrabel. The only reason I like Vrabel is he has HC experience where he has won a playoff game coaching an AFC title game. As far as rebuilding the personnel, there's three offensive tackles you have to target in free agency. Stanley with the Ravens, Bowles with Denver, Robinson out in Minnesota. If you're able to get one of those guys, then you can take Hunter with your first pick. If you're not able to get one of those guys, you have to take either Banks or Will Campbell.
Hey, that's a plan, though. He's got a plan.
Yeah. Garrett Bowles already resigned.
Bowles did resign.
That's fine.
Whatever. Ronnie Stanley, part of the Jones plan.
Update the plan. That's fine.
Not trying to woo anybody to my side when we're voting on things.
So he does kind of want BHA. Again, if you missed, that's best Haas available in the draft. So maybe it's Banks, maybe it's Campbell. But he also likes the Hunter idea, which I am now a fan of.
You're getting
Travis Hunter.
Hunter, all of a sudden, guy wins the Heisman, and all of a sudden he's getting a lot of blowback.
I like that. Oh, you're right.
Now
the one
mid?
Guy said he's mid.
Yeah,
he's not mid.
He's not mid.
He's got a situation right now with his fiance. You see, uncle's talking about it.
No.
So Shannon Sharp.
Oh boy.
Shannon Sharp
had not seen that.
Had like a 5 minute rant about it, and then Michael Irvin called him out on Twitter and was like don't like this is like nothing to do with you.
I'll get it in.
Yeah.
You know
Unk had a full breakdown on Travis Hunter. I couldn't even watch the whole thing. It was like a 5 minute clip on Twitter.
Travis Hunter might be mid as a wide receiver. I don't think he's mid overall as a prospect.
No, he's great.
Let's do some would you rather, shall we, Billy?
Yes.
Let's launch through these. If you got
Billy,
more Patriots plans, we'll circle back
would
to
them. Would you rather Wednesday?
What's our first would you rather on a Wednesday, Bill?
Would you rather Corbin Burns or a Mariners pitcher and Alex Bregman?
Well, the Mariners pitchers to me are very different. If I have carte blanche, I want George Kirby. Or someone like that. But if it's Luis Castillo and Bregman.
It seems like Castillo's the most likely to go.
I still think I'd rather that than just Burns. I'd rather Castillo. And I acknowledge you might have to move a guy like Cassis to get him.
Yeah.
But I'd rather Castillo and Bregman than just Burns.
I want just Burns. I'm not as high on you as on Bregman as you are. But I think Burns also signifies we do mean business. We are going to spend money. Because you're going to have to outbid teams for Burns. To get Bregman, I don't know. I mean, you're going to have to throw some money at him, but it's not in the same stratosphere as Burns. And then a trade's a trade. We already saw them execute a trade. They pulled off a great trade and got Garrett Crochet. I just think the idea of having Burns and Crochet at the top of your rotation for the next handful of years with whoever else is 3 through 5, and then I think your lineup is already decent to this point. with or without Bregman. So give me Burns, because I think it's also just such a, hey, what a change of course. Like, this is $200, $300 million, whatever it's going to end up being for this guy.
I do like that.
That's a big sign.
I do like that. But I think Bregman is enough of a spend to satiate that. Okay. But I understand the point. So you want Burns, I want the pitcher, and Bregman. What's next, Billy?
Would you rather watch college football playoff games or the best NFL games this weekend?
College football playoff.
Same. It's the first year of the 12-teamer.
I'm very, very, very excited for the college football playoff.
Yeah.
And I acknowledge we could get – the first game could just be a blowout. Maybe most of the games are blowouts. I want to see how it works. I'll be prioritizing that over the NFL this weekend.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. And so they're spreading it out too, right? Friday night you have Indiana-Notre Dame, which seems like a good game. The SMU-Penn State game is at high noon on
that one might be
Saturday.
That one might be a tune-out.
Then Clemson-Texas at 4, and then it ends with Tennessee-Ohio State. So
awesome
I think
game.
Both primetime games I'll probably watch a real good amount of, and then I'll see what the hell we're doing on
Saturday.
And just
so you know, for this round, these are on-campus sites.
Yes, which is pretty awesome.
So you get a game in Austin. You
Penn
get a
State?
Game. Yeah, you get a game in Happy Valley. You get a, where is it Tennessee or Ohio State? I don't know who's at home. Is it Tennessee?
No, Ohio State's the home game.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, Ohio State.
Yeah, the 8 seed.
So that so
and
they
then
are
Notre Dame.
So right.
Good stadiums.
Touchdown Jesus.
Touchdown Jesus.
The horseshoe. Yeah,
I hope they wear their green jerseys.
Happy Valley. It'll probably be a whiteout.
Yeah.
And what was the other one we just said? Oh, yeah,
Texas.
You get a game in Austin. So
come on, folks.
I think that's going to be very cool. I'll definitely prioritize that over the NFL this
year.
Yeah,
me too.
Would you rather open presents first or stockings?
Would I rather?
I go stockings first, I would rather stocking first.
We do open stockings first.
My wife and I, families were different. My wife's family would open stockings second. My family would open them first. So now it's like a staring contest. We're like, what do we do? What do we do? So, I like stockings first.
I think I would rather do stockings last.
Really?
The kid wakes up and just tears everything open.
True.
I mean, he'll wake us up. He's still young enough where he's not just running out there and opening everything.
He waits for you.
He still is good enough to, I mean, he'll wake us up
Merry Christmas, Dad.
4 in the morning.
Yeah.
But so the kid will rip everything open and then we'll do the stockings. I guess Kat and I typically do the stockings first and then open our gifts. I'd rather just open the gift.
What do you guys do first?
Stockings.
Always done stockings first.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but
I'm kind of shocked that your wife didn't.
It's crazy. It's like eating your salad last.
Really?
Wild.
Dessert first.
Yeah, right. It's the
salad
same thing.
Last.
Palate cleanser.
Yeah. So strange.
That is weird.
Anyway.
I think I'd rather open the gift first, but that's not typically what we do.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Okay, what's our last one?
All right, would you rather drink eggnog or any other holiday drink?
So you're probably wondering, Jones, what are some holiday drinks?
I am actually wondering that. What are the other options?
What about partridge in a pear tree?
That's a drink?
White cranberry Cosmo, a Yule Mule, a sugar cookie martini, a Rum Run Rudolph. A tiramisu white Russian, mistletoe margarita, a jingle juice.
Two, Mississippi 3, Mississippi 4, Mississippi 5, Mississippi 6, Mississippi 7, Mississippi 8, Mississippi.
A Scrooge sour, a cranberry Paloma,
that's
a spiked hot chocolate. I'll go eggnog. You only drink it once a year. I like an eggnog. You can do whatever you want with the eggnog, too.
What was the sugar cookie one?
You want that sugar
cookie
one?
Yeah, what was that? Give me that again.
Let me find
that
where that was.
That sounded okay.
You like the sugar cookie martini?
Is that what it was?
Yeah, sugar cookie martini.
I don't love martini, so okay. I take that back. I heard sugar cookie, and I went, ooh.
I think you like vanilla vodka, amaretto, Bailey's.
I do. I like amaretto.
And a candy cane. Candy canes are a great stirrer for all of these drinks.
I've seen you do this with your mixed drinks. Yes, there is a
sugar cookie beer that's pretty good.
Ooh. I like amaretto in the coffee.
That's pretty good.
I like amaretto in the coffee I'll be doing on Christmas Day.
Fitzy was tweeting about the yellow Russians that he drinks. Which is delicious.
Trump?
Can we say this now? I don't know. Yet the yellow Russian, which is Kahlua, vodka, eggnog. So it's like a white Russian, but you go with a really thick eggnog.
Yeah, I don't know if I love that.
I like that. You just do spiced rum. You can do brandy. You can do bourbon. You can do whatever you want with the eggnog.
Is a boozy coffee, like, that's just not singular to Christmas. That's not a Christmas
feels like
drink.
That's kind of a year-round.
I could do it any day.
It's like an alcoholic, like, get up in the morning, have a drink.
There's thing I used to feel like back in the day that Schweppes Raspberry Ginger Ale was strictly a Christmas thing, but I feel like it's available year-round now. So I don't know why I always used to connect the Schweppes Raspberry Ginger Ale with the Christmas season.
I know exactly why you did, because I'm sure at certain family parties that'd be sitting out on the table during Christmas next to like Christmas cookies.
Unopened. That's a Nana drink.
Does anybody want to open this Schweppes Cranberry?
That's a Nana. Yeah, something your Nana purchases.
Raspberry.
Sprite is what Cranberry
is. I like that.
Okay. I think I guess out of the choices, I'm going eggnog, though.
Same.
I would rather eggnog.
Safe with a nice eggnog.
Can we try Georgia, New Hampshire again? He's standing by
is
with the
he
Patriots.
Promise
well,
to be ready?
I don't know.
All let's, right.
Let's try him. George, you're back
Sorry
on the clock.
There,
no, you're good.
Okay.
On the clock.
30 seconds begins.
Tick, 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 tick.
tick. What I think I would have tried was find a marketable coach, put Mayo as a defensive coordinator, hire Josh McDaniels as OC, and maybe add Scott Peoli to oversee the things.
That's your time.
Just run
Thanks
it back.
So much.
Was that actually 30 seconds?
What?
Or did you just hate it?
No, I thought he had his time. He owed us for the first call, too.
That's
so true. I added the two
That's
together
true.
In my
yeah,
head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, so Scott Peoli, Josh McDaniels, Gerard Mayo. It's the what?
Just member berries for
Dave. I don't want all these guys.
Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel while
See
you're at it.
See if you can get Belichick out of North Carolina.
George in New Hampshire. Hello?
Son of a bitch, George. Okay. He owes us for that.
Well, I did not.
So passionate.
I didn't realize you were that angry the first time. I saw the Twitch chat say I love when Keith gets angry. I didn't realize that was your reaction.
We had a really good thing going, and then we're like, hey, 30 seconds on the clock, and it's like hold music.
Son of a bitch, George. Yeah. Okay, good. Well, more Patriots plans. We'll reset ours at noon. If you missed them, they're on social media. Yes?
Somebody says Keith's getting put the Thin Mints as a gift this year. I didn't take the Thin Mints. Leave it alone.
Nah, that's a good
All
call.
All the other cookies, though.
Yeah, that's a good callback right there. If you missed our plans, they're up on social media. We'll reset them at noon. Wiggy has his 60-second Patriot plan.
I can't wait.
We're putting them on the clock. That's going to be fantastic. And we have some Red Sox thoughts. We'll get to those next. George in New Hampshire. Hello?
Son of a bitch, George.
Okay. That was Alex Speer on the 310 to Left podcast.
Okay.
Speer and Tom Caron.
You know, 310 is actually apparently not the exact distance. That's what it says on the monster.
Oh,
but
boy.
It's more like 299 is what I've heard. 300.
Dude, what are you saying? Bad name for a podcast?
No, great name. A little bit, maybe a little inside joke there.
Ah,
it's
yeah,
really not 310 to Left, and I think Red Sox real Red Sox fans would know,
they
that,
know so that.
Who wouldn't round up?
Get the tape measure out there.
That's
yeah,
good point. That's a good point. Yeah. We all gotta round up a little bit.
Add a little bit, yeah.
In our lives.
Nobody rounds down.
Add a little bit. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And so Alex Speer is talking about the Red Sox and how he was encouraged by their offer to Max Fried. You didn't hear some of that there, but I'm just giving you the backstory on that clip. And he goes on to say that was encouraging that they were willing to offer this money. Walker Buehler is almost the floor for what I expect them to do in free agency, which to me, and I don't hate Walker Buehler.
No, you don't.
But at this point, if that's the next shoe to drop, a Walker Buehler signing who was a top of the rotation guy for the Dodgers, he had Tommy John, he was very good in the World Series a year ago. I'm not against signing him, but if that's the next thing you do, like you trade for Garrett Crochet and then it's Walker Buehler, I'm not saying it won't work on the field, but that's not, if we're talking about buzz and excitement, that's not getting it done.
Yeah. You know, I know that he had the injury where he missed all of 2023. He hasn't been good since 2021.
So he was quite bad last year until the play. Speer made this point. He was good in the World Series. Yeah.
Turn around.
Good in the playoffs, good in the World Series.
2022 was also kind of just like an average year for him before he got hurt. And so he was really at his best 2021. And then even like, you know, prior to that when he was like a young guy. So I'm not anti-Walker Buehler. We haven't seen him be good consistently since 2021. So, like, there is a little bit of that. I feel he's better than Lucas Giolito, but Lucas Giolito is one of those guys, too, where you looked at him and you're like, well, if you take that year or that specific year, that's where, like, I don't want to mess around with it. Like, go after Corbin Burns or go after one of these Mariners pitchers and then take some of your free agency budget, that whatever it is that you have, and grab another stick. They for sure need another pitcher. But there's one much better in free agency.
Maybe two.
Maybe two, actually, depending on how you feel about Sasaki, right? That you're talking about. And then the Mariners thing seems like it's just there to be had. Like somebody's got to pull the trigger on that. And then there's still a few maybe like useful bats. Nobody, obviously, to the Juan Soto degree, but somebody that would come in there and make you better. So there should still be moves to be made. But this baseball offseason is
Didn't you have
brutal.
Higher hopes? And not just for the Red Sox.
No, it's the whole sport.
The whole sport. I had higher hopes. I thought, you know, you got Soto, you got Fried, and really that's what you got.
Because you know what? I thought teams or players specifically might look around, players more so than teams, and see, do you want to be Blake Snell? Do you want to be Jordan Montgomery? You played it out. You thought it was the greatest thing. You end up having to sign a one-year deal with an option. You sucked for the vast majority, if not all of the year. You lost like a year.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a pitcher. You can't wait until March to sign.
Nope.
And even some of these position players probably want some sort of camp, too.
Don't you kind of think? I mean, Trevor Story was a late signing. We've talked about this a lot. Yeah. J.D. Martinez was a late signing. One worked, one didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you kind of get the feeling that Corbin Burns is going to drag this out for a while?
Yeah.
Sasaki has to sign by when? Mid-January?
I was really hopeful, and maybe it was dumb.
He can't sign before January.
Yeah, no, he hasn't. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. So he can't sign until then. Got it.
But put him to the side. There's still everybody else. And there was some activity at the winter meetings, but so was there last year, I guess. Like, Shohei Ohtani signed in December.
Yeah, it was after the meetings, but it was December. Yep.
But you would have thought, all right, after he signs, now everybody else can get going. Like Juan Soto, I could see why, if you're a top 20 free agent, maybe waiting to see what he gets, maybe that boosts your value $20 million or whatever, and teams that missed out on Soto might be interested in you. Kind of crickets.
Yeah.
There's been some moves, and like obviously the Red Sox got Garrett Crochet. That was a trade, not a signing. But there's still a lot of big-name guys out there.
Shame on me. I thought it'd be different for the Red Sox. Crochet was a bold trade, but really, at the end of the day, not that different.
We're not spending any money.
Not the difference I expected, right, which was spending money. I thought the winter meetings, there would be more action. So I was wrong on both counts. You know, glass half full Jones, wrong again. That's why I try to go the other way. It's also a Celtics Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI all day long. Scal will be coming up here today on WEEI Afternoons. It's part of Celtics Wednesday. You heard Mego this morning. Andrew in Boston has a way to fix the NBA. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, how's it going? Those eras of basketball that you guys were talking about, those players, they were considered like they were real alpha male, real tough. And I think the generation now with the load management and the flopping, the weak fouls, the players are more apt to shoot an unguarded three than take it to the hole. They don't want to get a slap on the wrist. And it's changed the way we look at the players. You know?
I'm sorry. I thought he was there.
Quick hook. Okay. You wanted to give him the...
I was used to having callers on a timer today.
Yeah.
There might be something to the load management. Like, I don't disagree with that. There's plenty of flopping in the 80s. Get out of my face with that.
But not only that, like, LeBron James is one of the all-time floppers, and I can't stand him, but he was a ratings juggernaut for a while. Yeah. People loved watching LeBron. He's flopping all over the place.
Yeah, look, I'm all for cleaning up flopping. You guys loved it when Marcus Smart was here. But I'm all for cleaning up flopping and getting that out of the league. I'm just saying, that's happened for a long time.
But do you subscribe to...
The load management thing might be a factor.
When men were men? Do you like that?
No.
Because the players are more like talented, probably more athletic now overall.
Yeah,
not like Jordan, but like other guys. Like overall,
no. The skill level
Skill level. It should be a better product based on that.
The skill level now is as high as it's ever been.
Yeah,
like it's the skill level now is way higher than the 80s.
Yeah.
Way higher. Not even close.
No, it's not.
But is the product better than it even was 10 years ago? That to me is up for debate. No question about the skill level.
Yeah,
when men were men is.
Didn't they try to clean up the flopping by issuing techs last year?
Yeah.
Have they been doing that this year? I haven't noticed
fines?
It at all.
I haven't really noticed it either. Can you get fined now for flopping?
If you get enough warnings, you can.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know how much they enforce it, but that is a rule that's on the books.
Soccer's the most popular sport in the world. There's more flopping than that.
People like Josh Allen. He flops all the time.
Josh Allen flops all the time. Mahomes.
Brady used to scream for stuff.
Brady would flop. Yeah. That's true. Back when men were men.
Uh-huh.
So look, one of the things we're fixing today is the NBA. That's just one thing. We have solutions. We're in the solutions
business. We're not done there.
We're tired of talking about problems, problems this, problems that. We want solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Keith gave you a 1 minute plan to fix the Patriots.
All the time I need.
I gave you, I don't even need all that time sometimes. I gave you a 1 minute plan to fix the Patriots. We're going to replay both. We want you to vote on whose plan is better. That's on social media at Jones and Keefe. You can vote there at Keefe21, at Jones WEEI. And by popular demand, Wiggy will be giving us his 60-second plan to fix the Patriots. All that next.